Welcome to Absolutely Fabulous. My name is Gillian Fennell, also known as Station Mum 101. I love everything about agriculture, especially the people, and especially communicating about what makes Australian ag so special.
And I'm Katja Williams, a beef cattle and cropping farmer, and I love all things ag, and I'm also known as the ultimate farm wife. Together, we are Absolutely Fabulous, and we are talking all things agriculture beyond the headlines.
And we can't wait to give our opinion to you, and we hope you enjoy it.
So let's get into today's episode. Welcome, welcome, everybody, back to another episode. This is episode 19, where we'll be talking about the National Farmers Federation upcoming February webinar, as well as Telstra's communications and the issues across Australia with the change in, what is it, broadband width?
So. Your shutdown has led to it. And if you are trying to watch this and you're wondering where I am, you can't see me because guess what? We don't have bandwidth here to record my video and my sound. And I'm not even at the station. I'm down at the farm, which is disgraceful. So let's get into it.
And it's the second week in a row we have had no visual because of this cutout and these issues. But before we jump into those two topics any more than that, Gillian, what have you been up to this week?
Oh, I've been putting on the miles. A few people might know, but Eleanor, my youngest, had her tonsils out. So we're not allowed back up to the station until they are fully healed, which is 2 weeks. So I've taken the advantage of the fact that I'm down here in civilization and am still running around the countryside, this time attending some events on behalf of Livestock SA. And I've been up to Wilmington, I've been to Jamestown, I've been to Adelaide, I've been down to Robe. So it was my first trip down to the southeast of South Australia. Got to see a lot of water for the first time in a long time. And yeah, just put clocking up the K's, basically.
Yeah, amazing. And what kind of work were you doing with Livestock SA in those different locations?
So, yeah, just the thing that I love most. I've been going to a lot of community events and finding out what the producers are really concerned about coming up to an election and finding out what sort of support they need. I got to play bowls at Jamestown for the first time in about 30-something years, so that was interesting. And yeah, it's been really great getting out and meeting producers across the state outside of my own little area.
Yeah, really cool. What kind of issues and support are they looking for in that area in the lead up to the election?
Oh, well, the 3G shutdown, of course, that you're going to talk about today is one of the biggest things, lack of connectivity, ongoing sort of drought, but everyone knows that nobody can do anything about that except just wait for rain. And generally, people are just pretty sick of government interfering in how we do business because we're actually doing it really well. We're not actually doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. The more we hear, the more things that stay the same, essentially. Like you get a few little niggling issues about the introduction of electronic tags for sheep in South Australia, but that's not a massive concern for a lot of consumers. A lot of producers. We've got an issue with foot rot here in South Australia and about how it's reported and stuff, which if you know me, you know I don't know much about sheep. So that's been a steep learning curve for me. And also where I live, even if I did know much about sheep, I wouldn't know much about foot rot because apparently you need a lot of wet ground to get foot rot and we don't have that problem. So yeah. What have you been up to, Katja? You've been busy, busy?
Busy, busy. So last week was the first week that I had to worry about a school timetable. So working between the 9 to 3 now and working out. So because I like to do things based on time and time blocks, and that's just how my brain can operate, it's trying to find out, like I've lost 4 hours in the beginning of the week and about 6 hours all up. So just trying to work out at the moment within the new time of life and season of life I'm in with school age kids of where I can actually make up those 4 to 6 hours. And a lot of that is actually coming in trying to take the benefits of AI, which is what my workshops will be this week that's coming. So I'm rolling out three workshops on how to use AI in streamlining podcast production and using that in your businesses. So doing that through, we spoke about them last week, I think, the Rural Women's Fund. And with Dimity from Grow Rural. So that'll be really great rolling those out this week, really taking advantage of those AI tools. So working on my slideshow and my presentation for that, it will have happened by the time that this goes live. So that's been really great doing that and the school life and continuing the organisation for the conference. So that's all coming together really nicely. Sponsorship opportunities, if anyone is wanting to jump on board.
Excellent. Well, you should jump on board because you get to the benefit of reaching really passionate, committed rural women who are leaders in their communities and industry, and they will take your message back to their homes. So if you are looking for that sort of outreach, for sure, contact Katja because she will have a sponsorship prospectus for you.
Absolutely. Had a few people contact me with lots of really great questions coming up. So yes, there is a parents' room and it will have volunteers in it operating. So even if you have to bring the kids, because this is a predominantly women in agriculture event, not just farm wives, we have set that up so that you can bring your kids. We know that there's limited childcare. We know that we're the primary carers in the agriculture industry. So of course I had to organise a parents' room. So that is going to be up and running. And we've also added in cocktail party tickets. So if you're travelling with a girlfriend who doesn't necessarily, or a partner who doesn't necessarily want to come to the conference, but they can still purchase tickets to the cocktail party at night. So they were the two most commonly asked questions about the conference this week.
And I just want to clarify, the parents' room where the kids are being looked after is not the monkey enclosure.
It is not, no. But
That's right. That's right.
the conference room does
Online
look
enclosure.
over. The conference room does look over the monkey enclosure.
Oh, there you go. The kids might come back with some new and interesting habits being in close proximity to the monkeys.
Beautiful. With all of that said and done, let's jump into our first topic. So Gillian and I are both going to be presenting at the upcoming National Farmers Federation February Masterclass, which is all about navigating the ag industry as women. That's Monday, the 24th of February. It is 12 to 1 p.m. and it is an online webinar.
And it's going to be lots of fun. It'll be interesting because you and I both do different things as women in the agricultural industry. So it'll be interesting to see how our different perspectives are and what common things we've experienced. And I can't wait to find out if that resonates with other women in ag. It'll be very, I think it could be a bit deep. I think it could be good fun to figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly when it comes to leadership and different paths that we all take and the different roles we all have. It's all very much really important what we do. We really are the backbone of agriculture, and a lot of the different areas and sectors that you're in, it just wouldn't work without women in ag. And while women in ag are getting a lot more recognition these days for the role that they're doing, I think there's a lot more work that we can do. And I did have someone say to me this week, "Oh, you need to remember that you're not better than us." And I just think, well, these types of talks, these types of workshops, the work that I do with the Ultimate Farm Wife, what we're doing here with Absolutely Fabulous is nothing about that. It's about knowledge sharing, it's about our stories, it's about getting acknowledgement for the work that we do. It's not being better, it's being equal.
I'll tell you what, though, whoever said that, we're definitely better than them because they're an asshole.
I just think sometimes they probably do need to come to an event like this to see that it's not all hating and bra burning. It is actually, empowering people in the industry. And I'm really excited to be talking about different roles and stories and leadership.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that that some men and occasionally some women, they get really affronted and offended when we start to say, hey, yeah, we are actually really good at what we do, because we're not trying to put anybody else down. It's just we're trying to acknowledge our own value and our own sort of role in this whole sort of thing. Everyone's operation is different, you know, so everyone's role is going to be slightly different. But we do share some sort of common struggles, and that's whether you've got kids or not got kids or whatever stage of life you are. There are some things that are just sort of universal, I think. And it's not about, oh, I'm better than you because I can work outside all day, or I'm better than you because I can stay home and tend my garden and cook everybody healthy meals. It's we all do what we need to do, and we do it really well. And I think that's probably the most important thing to remember. And if you're upset by that, if you find that confronting and offensive that we acknowledge how good we are, I think take a long, hard look at yourself just quietly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a fantastic workshop. So even if you're not in the agricultural industry, because Absolutely Fabulous is all about, you know, news beyond the headlines and closing that urban and rural divide, even if it's something that might pique your knowledge, like pique your interest, even if you're not in the agricultural industry, jump into the webinar and see what we have to say, because I'd say a lot of it probably relates to you, you know, could relate to you in your life and your industry as well.
Yeah, it's that solidarity of sharing those experiences and acknowledging that we do have some sort of shared connections across, regardless of what your role is, what your job is, where you live. There are some things that, I won't say all women, but a lot of women, probably the majority of women, experience and struggle with. And I think finding that you're not alone in some of those struggles can often be really, really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely agree. So guys, for those who are listening, that is the National Farmers Federation February Masterclass, Navigating the Ag Industry as Women. It's on Monday, the 24th of February, 12 to 1 p.m. That's New South Wales time. And we will have a link in the show notes.
And it'll be good fun.
So, Gillian, that takes us to the mid of our episode. And this part of the episode is sponsored by Farm Table. So thank you, Farm Table. Farm Table now hosts our podcast page, our landing page. So I will add that in the show notes below for you all to check out. But welcome to Farm Table. Farm Table is a proud independent Australian agricultural knowledge platform, bringing together the most relevant and curated agricultural resources from around the globe. More than that, Farmtable supports industry collaboration, peer-to-peer networking, and functions to build the capacity of individuals and organisations across the entire Australian ag supply chain. With over 3,000 resources, the latest agricultural events, funding opportunities, grants, microcourses, and workshops all in one location, Farmtable makes it easier to find the information you need. If you'd like to be featured as a sponsor on the podcast, then please send us a message. Our email address will be in the show notes, or you can individually direct message either Gillian or myself. Gillian, is there an Ag Fab of the Week? Oh, sorry.
We do have an Ag Fab of the Week. Her name is Amber, and she is a PhD student who is studying, this is beyond my scope of expertise, but the natural enemies of insect pest in canola. And Amber has been on board with AgFabs ever since we launched. She's great on Twitter. I spent a lot of time chatting with her, and she's doing excellent work. And just if you want to know about bugs and stuff, and she's great and really supportive. And, yeah, Amber, we love you. You're awesome. And, oh, no. I would get my iPad because I have been designing like some stuff to put on stickers and hooks and stuff, and I would show it to you, but it's on the floor and I'm sitting cross-legged on the bed, so that's not going to happen.
Perfect workstation. I'm in my linen cupboard and you are cross-legged on your bed.
I won't be able to walk tomorrow, but anyway, at least I'm comfortable right now.
Congratulations, Amber. We look forward to looking at more of your work, and I hope that lots of our AgFab listeners also join you over on Twitter.
Yeah, definitely look Amber up if you're interested in anything to do with pest management in cropping because she has got all the knowledge.
So that leads us into our second topic, which is telecommunications and the shutdown of the 3G network. Gillian, I know you have a lot to say on this, so I'm going to let you go first.
Probably the biggest thing is the sheer audacity of telcos who sat in that inquiry and said, you know, everything's going really well. There's no problems. Everything's fine. Everything's rosy. When we know across Australia that things are not going well and fine. And I think that's what we people need to realise that they have no shame. Telcos have no shame. They will bald-faced lie. In the interest of protecting their share price and in the interest of protecting their executives and all those sorts of things. So when if they put up and they say, no, there's no problem here, there's definitely a problem there because that's how corporate PR communications works, unfortunately. Case in point, I am in the mid-north of South Australia. I don't have enough bandwidth to run my camera and my mic at the same time. There's a fire just across the road, probably about 10 km away from here. Telecommunications right now is urgent and necessary, and it's not working properly. And thanks, telcos. And like we like to throw shade at Telstra because they are the biggest provider to regional Australia, but there are other telecommunications companies as well. But yeah, Telstra, you're looking really bad right now. And you know, one of the most frustrating things, I guess, is that they then set up a helpline. So if you're having a problem, you can ring the helpline that you often can't ring because you have no connectivity. And then you get to sit on the helpline for 10, 20 minutes. You know, if you're lucky, that's a short wait time for someone to tell you that there's nothing wrong with their system. It's obviously your fault because you're too stupid or you're in the wrong place or you know, you might be standing in the middle of the hay plain and be told that it's because of all the hills blocking the signal. So it's some of these things are extraordinary. So just remember that if you're reading it and Telstra's saying, oh, these people are all complaining for nothing, remember who's going to make billions of dollars this year and who's suffering on a day-to-day basis and who is more likely to be telling the truth about what's actually happening on the ground.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, have you experienced, because you're around Dubbo, so how's your mobile signal going? Pretty rubbish.
Yeah. So our house is around 20 km north, and I am sitting on one bar of service, and it will quite often fluctuate in and out between one bar of service and SOS. So where you can only call emergency services. So we have had to go back to UHF radios, and we are 20 minutes out of a major rural city. And at our Ningen place, we are the same thing. We don't get cell service after Trangie, so it's very spotty at Nevertire, and then between basically, Nevertire and Ningen, for those who know the areas, we're talking about New South Wales here, there is pretty much no service. So, in an emergency situation, it's very dangerous. There are a lot of locals who have been in really dangerous situations, and some have actually lost their lives because they could not contact emergency services. And those cases have been covered in the land as well as the local papers. Letters have been written, and at the moment, same response as what you're talking about, Gillian. Really disgusting response from telco. They are all saying, no, it should all have service, you should all be fine. But a current investigation in New South Wales has shown that 15% of New South Wales' major roads do not have mobile service, 30% of the railway network has poor to no coverage. And there are over 4,000 reported black spots in New South Wales alone that impacts over 10,000 premises. And when we're talking about, you know, our area. Like, that's a lot of properties, that's a lot of people, that's a lot of cities that are impacted. And when the spokesperson who is interviewed in, across a lot of these different articles, the spokesperson says, "We know how frustrating poor conductivity can be, particularly for farmers, which is why our government will continue to look at practical ways to ensure that more Australians have reliable access." Well, that just shows how out of touch they are, because it's not just frustrating, it is life threatening. And a lot of people need that service. They need that coverage, and deaths are occurring because of it. And that is a really poor PR statement based on that.
It's interesting to know. So we have when whoever, I can't even remember the political party that did it because I was a child at the time, because I am old, but I'm not quite that old. We have what's called a universal service obligation that telcos had to sign up to. So when they sold it off and made it a private enterprise, they said, right, okay, so you have to make sure that people have access to a minimum level of service. But the thing about that is it only applies to your residents. It does not cover data and it does not cover mobile connectivity. And obviously the world has moved on considerably since then. So the universal service obligation is currently being reviewed, and if you see something, I'll have a look around to see if there's any like public consultation or anything yet. But it's super, super important. We need to make sure that USO, that universal service obligation, covers data and mobile connectivity and any technologies that might come about in the future. And we often get told, oh, well, Telstra's, they're a corporate thing. They're here to make money. They're not going to invest where they don't make money. And this is where I get really pissed off with governments who sell off our essential services. Because Australia, like literally Australia, there's not enough people who live in the outback or rural, even regional areas, to justify the cost of the infrastructure, but we still need it to live. So that is a very frustrating. So government can either come to the party and start, topping it up to make sure that they provide us this service, or force these telcos to do it by amending their licensing conditions, because these telcos have to be licensed to provide those services. So they could easily say, you must provide this level of service Australia-wide, or we won't give you a license to operate in Australia. And then, because it's not like they're all on the bones of their ass, they're making a lot of money. They can afford to do it. So yeah, it's we really need to make sure that we all have access to a minimum service of, and it's not even that you need to have high speed internet direct to your home so you can, live stream video games or whatever. That'd be nice, but we need to have a certain level of guaranteed connectivity that doesn't fail in extreme weather, that doesn't fail when the sun goes down, all these sorts of things. For safety's purposes, like you need to be able to contact people and you need to be able to run your business and you need to be able to educate your children. And for that, you need mobile connectivity and data connectivity. So, yeah, we will keep an eye out to see if there's any of those consultations happening and we'll get all our listeners to make a submission about why they need to lift their game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important to be sharing those stories and to be getting involved, because unless we all raise our voice on something like that, there's no reason for them to make a change. It doesn't put them out. They're living in their cities with their and they're covered, so why would they care about us?
And it is those personal stories, those stories of how, people who died because they didn't have access to mobile coverage, or how you missed saying goodbye to your loved one because your house phone wasn't working and they passed away. All of these personal stories that are unacceptable in a country like Australia. And I say this a lot, a country like Australia, because we're a wealthy nation. We're pretty smart, we're pretty switched on, but we just seem to ignore a big swathe of our country when it comes to giving them access to minimum level of service. And so we become second class citizens, and we can't let people live like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that in my DMs, some people always, like to comment about, oh, you always have good things to say about Elon Musk. Well, yes, I have a lot of good things to say about him, because without Starlink, without his internet service, We would have pretty much nothing out here. Oh, words this time,
Learning.
Liam. His satellite trains, provide us enough internet to be able to record sessions like this or to be able to access our emails and things like that. His service has been great. We've been with him just over 12 months with Starlink, and we have never had an issue with our Starlink. Whereas before that, with our NBN through Telstra, or even with Optus with our data, that we never had anything reliable. It would always drop out. It would always disappear for weeks on end. And again, I'm not far out of town, so that's really frustrating. So I'd be like, right, let's get in the car. For me, I only had to drive, 20 minutes into town. But for others that I know, they were traveling an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours just to get into a major centre to be able to do business emails. And then people are saying, well, we're not going to send out paper invoices anymore. We're not going to send out, paper copies of anything. You need to update your system. You need to get on top of this for your business. Well, that's all fine for you to go paperless when you have services that work, when you have connectivity. But for us, when it's not reliable, and for people further out, like, they need to be able to work out a system that's going to work for their rural counterparts where it's not paperless because it doesn't work for them.
Banking's a big one because in this day and age, you often cannot complete your banking transactions without a mobile code. And if you don't have access to a strong mobile signal, you won't get that code. And then when you try to request a new one, it'll say, "Well, I've already sent you one. You're obviously a scammer or a hacker. So we're going to close your and freeze your account." And it gets so frustrating. You cannot even do the most basic of tasks. And it seems like we were like this, when we started out before we had the NBN and satellite internet was widespread and it was still a disaster. And it's now it's like, okay, NBN came along, that was cool, and then it just all seemed to have dropped off again. I'm not a fan of Elon Musk, but the Starlink technology has been a game changer for us. So you can't like I'm not gonna bet to cut off my nose to spite my face. Like I need that stable high-speed internet connection to live my life, even though he is a deeply problematic individual. I am not going about to like put myself, if someone else wants to come up with an alternative that costs the same and works the same and is not, a Bond villain in disguise, I'm quite happy to give my money to them instead. But until that happens, we have to do what's best for us.
I have not heard him just the described like that before, Jillian.
Well, he's an interesting character, that's for sure.
You have anything else to discuss on this week's podcast episode?
No, I don't actually. So it's a quite a fast one today, isn't it? We're actually getting through it because I've been too busy to do anything really, and you're busy doing stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just a busy, busy, busy. Like Eleanor had her first day back at school today for the first 2 weeks, and so we're both exhausted because we're not used to it. yeah, it's just been hectic.
Absolutely been hectic. Well, guys, because of that, we will leave you here today. But just a reminder, you can submit articles and topics for discussion via either direct message, any of the social platforms, or the email address. So until next time, have a think about sponsors, connect with us on socials for AgFab of the Week, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.